Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. Good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis. We're in the Randy's Rubs hot box and got a little something missing, Toby.
We got our main man missing.
Yeah.
And his partner was going to come on with us this week.
Alex was going to come join this week, but
talk to us about that hardened sting that they got over there. But
I guess the sting was a little bit too much.
Yeah, and we're getting that they're sick. But
convenient.
Yeah, everybody's got their own opinion.
Convenient. They're both sick. We're also
sometimes you're lost for words in some situation like that.
Yeah, but I mean, we wasn't even going to talk about that game.
Yeah, we were kind of pushing that behind us and moving on and talking to
kind of
some bigger and better things.
We were really excited about this last week's pick'ems, and got somebody pumping in on the Facebook Live. How about them Westwood Panthers? We're going to talk about Westwood.
We'll get to that.
We will talk about Westwood.
We're going to kind of talk about last week quite a bit, and then we'll kind of jump into what we're looking like going forward.
Yeah, I'm really the playoff pitcher, right?
Oh.
Is kind of where
Absolutely.
I'm at.
Absolutely.
Kind of what my focus is. But, Leah, we're going to talk about them Panthers, and I hope you listen to the show that we put out Monday night. Trent and I did. We did a live over the Westwood deal.
Yeah.
And Thursday, we all kind of watched that whole deal, the UIL committee meeting, right? As it was on YouTube Live. We watched that. I learned a lot by watching that. I've never seen one of those. So sitting back and being able to watch that, I learned a lot. And I'll just go ahead and say it. I think the ruling that the UIL came out with was very fair.
Oh, absolutely. Right. When you talked about, you know, early on, you know, we obviously feel really bad for the players. It had nothing to do with the actions that had took place. And whether or not they were intentionally done or what, I think, like, at the end of the day, your head guy's got to be accountable. I mean,
right.
It's like running a business. You know, your owner at the end of the day has got to be
accountable
for what takes place in that workplace, and sometimes, you know, you're not even there.
Right.
And that's kind of one of those deals. I just, you know, you can cut and dice that thing up a million times. But at the end of the day, I was sure glad that the players got to continue their season. I felt like there was a good chance they were going to have to forfeit probably the games up till,
right,
you know, Friday night. And that could have been fair in its own way, too. You know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, they, you know, said, hey, they don't feel like that the impact of what the information that they would have gotten
right
was warranted for that for whatever reason. But, yeah, so they went and got a chance to play and play it out on the field. Obviously, it come out a lot closer than I thought.
Right, most definitely.
But you said it best. There was probably lots of emotions in there.
A lot of emotions. I was told Westwood's quarterback got ejected from the game. So I don't know the extent behind all that, but it's, you know, it's a very high emotion game. And let's back up before we go too far into this. This is a Palisade Westwood team that 4 years ago, I was 5 years ago, I was on that wagon. I was talking about Westwood, you know, and the progression that they've made. And you've had the opportunity to watch with Cameron and Case both playing in Cold Spring, being in that district, you know, watching the younger age groups. And we talk about that a lot. We talk about coaches looking for jobs and what did the seventh and eighth grade do?
Mm-hmm.
So when we go back, I've been on that Westwood wagon for a while, and what Coach Bishop has done with that program overall, you know, been there 7 years and to have them at a state caliber football team in that 7 years, that's a product of his kids, these kids going through his program. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so with what he's done there and what he's built there is just absolutely impressive up there at Palisade Westwood. But moving forward to the topic at hand, you know, you and I excuse me, had a lot of conversation about this on the phone and what have you. And, you know, I think with what they did, the kids are impacted, but yet not impacted, right? They're impacted by their coach not being there, their head coach. And I told you this, I said, you know, as a head coach, you got to walk into the locker room and you got to tell these guys, hey, this is where we're at. You know, we can't control. Sometimes things are out of our hands and we can't control it, but
yeah,
let's step up to the adversity that's there. Let's stay focused and go out on the field and let a product of what we do Monday through Thursday, preparing each week for these games, let that be a product that we show on Friday night. And, you know, I think this week with that whole ruling going down Thursday, the emotions were a little bit higher on Friday, right?
Yeah.
But I think this next week they have Fairfield. Things will be kind of settled down a little bit.
Yeah, they probably,
for Westwood.
The practice, if they practice any, what they were doing.
Right.
They were probably practicing, but at the end of the day, getting prepared. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
The head coach is the head coach. He may be calling the plays. And if he were and somebody else had to step in, I mean, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you got somebody on the controls versus somebody else, there's
right.
always somebody that's better.
Yeah.
They get a feel of the game. It's just, there's probably a lot that went into that.
No.
And, but at the end of the day, hey, they got a win. No, you know, when you look back on it 4 or 5 years from now, and you look up Max Preps and you look at this year and you want to, you know, you're discussing their record at this year.
Right.
You're not going to look back as much on the, oh, that game was close. That becomes irrelevant at that
right.
point. It's in some.
Yeah. Fairfield this week for Westwood. So it's going to be interesting how that district ends up shaping out. I still have Palestine picked. Obviously, they're going to win that district. And it's what that 2, 3, and 4 spot looks like. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show. But, dude, our pick'ems this week. We're free. We're off the chain. Like,
yeah.
I went 6-1. Toby, you went what? 5-2.
I went 5-2. Yeah.
Yeah. Trent being out, so we didn't get our full list.
Yeah, everybody
of everybody, but he'll get it put together and it'll be posted tomorrow.
Yeah.
But definitely was.
There was so many. We talked about when you brought up the scores and how every pick 'em other than Silsby and West Orange.
Yeah.
Looked like it fell within 6 points. I mean,
yeah, everything.
One way or another. So,
I mean, you look at the North Shore Atascocita game, 27-23 North Shore.
Yeah. And right? they trailed the whole game.
Yeah. And was able to pull it out right there at the end. Kingwood at CE King, 21-20 football game. I mean, just you can't get much tighter than that. Lufkin and Port Arthur Memorial. Lufkin wins that one 30-23, one score game,
mm-hmm.
you know. Nederland and PNG. Now, this game was a surprise to me, really, with it being a home game for PNG, Mid-County Madness. We talked about it. But if you read the threads and all that good stuff, comments on social media and what have you, you know, there was talk Nederland could go in there and win that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And
several people told me, Toby, Nederland can win that game. You know what I mean? And I didn't go that route. I ended up.
Right.
You know, going PNG, and that was one of my losses.
Yeah, that was my only loss.
Yeah, was your only loss. And I did that, obviously, because they were at home.
No, most definitely.
You know, and PNG was on a roll, so I had no reason to think that they could come in and you know, didn't come in and upset them. But, hey, that's what happens, and that's what makes those rival games so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah, what makes it fun. Bridge City, Little Cypress, Mauriceville game that we kind of talked about, trying to figure out where Bridge City is.
That was another loss of mine. That was my second loss.
Trent scathed on that one because, remember, Bridge City would have won that. He'd had to go get him a Cardinals hat and wear it on the podcast.
That's right.
So he got past that. But I went with LCM in this one. 21-18 was a final. Really good football game.
Yeah, yeah.
Between these two, a home game for Little Cypress.
Yeah, two even match teams and – when we were doing the pick-ems, I was really doing a lot of scoreboard watching all their games back and forth and seeing. And, man, it was a tough one. But I knew when I went Bridge City and everybody else, you know, 80% of the group went LCM, I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah.
There may be something I don't know. But it ended up being a close game, and I had a shot at it. But
no, and it was a close game, very close. And, I mean, like we said, so many of these games could have went just either direction. And the game that shocked me was the shutout West Orange pitched on Silsby at Silsby. I would be I would I would like to know the history. When was the last time Sealsby got shut out at home?
Right.
It's probably been a decade or so.
Right.
I would be willing to bet. 35-0 West Orange over Sealsby. Then our game of the week. And if you look back on that game in the pickems on the 590 sports page, with the majority of everybody went with Columbus mm-hmm. in this game. And I broke it down in the pickems, and I said, at the end of the day, I'm going off of what the defense does.
Yeah.
37-36, Hitchcock wins that game. Yeah. And that would have been a game I'd like to have been
at. That's a toss-up, you know.
Yeah.
And I think my lean is at Hitchcock, so yep. I was given that advantage. And I needed some separation. You know, I needed – I couldn't go along with everybody because if I go along, I'm never going to make up, and I'm trailing.
Right.
So I and I think at the end of the day, had, you know, Bridge City, you know, came through, I would have probably been a little bit better off. But it worked out. I took Hitchcock, and, you know, they were extremely athletic. They won the basketball state championship 2 years in a row. Those same guys are – pretty much over here playing football.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, yeah, that's the direction I went. Not taking anything away from Columbus because they're rolling and they could play that game again tomorrow and it go the opposite way.
No, exactly. And those two teams, those are two of the teams that I'm looking forward to in, you know, the area round of the playoffs to see Westwood go and play, mm-hmm. you know, because I think it's going to be a really good battle and it's going to be a game that I make sure that I'm at.
Yep.
You know, on that Friday night to be able to watch us.
It'll be a good matchup.
Because really and truly, if you think about it, the area where they are, New Caney is a real good prospect for that football mm-hmm. game. New Caney and or Wood Forest Stadium
right.
over there in Conroe.
Oh, yeah.
And as y'all find out tonight as we progress on through the show, we're going to talk about playoffs. And
we're at that time.
I get giddy this time of year because I love the playoffs. I mean, we're moving into November.
You got a lot of people clinched.
Yes.
You know, hey, they're in. A lot are saying we're out. There's no way we can get in unless a miracle happens.
Right.
But at the end of the day, yeah, you're pretty much you can start painting that picture.
Yeah. One of the games that we did not put in the pick'ems this last week, I got to talk about it. We didn't put it in the pick'ems, and we felt like it should have been there. And then it was like, no, Barbers Hill's got a few guys out. You know, it's probably not going to be a game. Guy I work with even said, man, I was going to go. He said, but we got this guy and this guy and this guy. He's like, I'm not going to go. And he said, I'll just watch it at home. And I was like, all right. Galveston Ball and Barbers Hill. Galveston Ball drops it 62-60 in overtime. And I guess they both left their defenses at home.
Probably.
to put up that many points at the 5A level against two really good football teams. And so with that, just diving in into District 9, 5A Division 1, Lufkin's leading that district 4-0. Barbers Hill 3-2. Galveston Ball 3-1. Port Arthur Memorial 3-2. Beaumont Westbrook, it's 2-2. Baytown Sterling 0-4. And Beaumont United 0-4. So this week out of that district, you have Lufkin and Beaumont United. Barbers Hill's on a much-needed bye week, especially after that win. Kind of get some guys healthy. Galveston Ball has Beaumont Westbrook. Port Arthur has Baytown Sterling. So kind of the matchups for that district. So this week, coming into week 10 of Texas high school football. So out of our district, dropping, just kind of getting sporadic a little bit, District 10 3A. We had a shakeup.
Yeah.
Huge shakeup. We went, you and I were in Buna, and man, what they've done to that little stadium. It was.
Yeah, the little stadiums are cool.
Yeah. I like them. I like them. Yeah,
they really are. And I think a lot of your 4A stuff is kind of starting to, you know,
bigger it's gotten stand. Bigger.
But in the 3A down,
you'll
still have. That and they had some really nice lights though.
Yeah,
remember
back several years ago, where going to Monty Jack because they had the turf and everything. Going to Monty Jack was like the cat's meow for 3A.
It was very nice, especially up in that area.
Yeah, and now Westwood they got nice stadium that they've mm-hmm. revamped over there. Monty Jack still a great stadium. Trinity they got turf really and revamped nice their stadium.
Facility,
So. Down at that 3A level, you're starting to see more turf, a little bit bigger stadiums and such. But going to Buna or Kirbyville or even Orangefield.
Kirbyville's was really nice. I went there for a JV game.
Yeah.
So their stadium had been revamped, and it was very nice.
Yeah,
like, very nice.
I haven't been to Kirbyville in a number of years.
So it's a good stadium to watch a game at.
Now I will tell you this: next year when we go to Kirbyville Varsity, you want to do that game with me because they feed you really well.
Oh, is that right? Book.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They will never be on my bottom tier schools just for the fact they feed you.
Feed
really
you
good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we played Kirbyville in Woodville a couple years ago. You may remember that.
Uh-huh.
There was a hurricane kind of went up, knocked power out. Anyway, they moved the game to Woodville on a Thursday. Well, they furnished press box food for us there. Oh my God, it was off the chain. It's shrimp. Cool. They had fried shrimp, these fried apple pies. They were legit. Cool. When we go to Kirbyville next year, you got to come sit in the box with me. So, but out of 10-3A, that district just really, really got shook up with, the Anahuac Hardin game. That really shook that district up for me, right? I did not see Anahuac losing that game.
Yeah.
On
paper, they're not supposed to.
Correct.
And like when we got a chance to talk to Trent a little bit yesterday and the night before, and he said Hardin plays great defense. They're going to be very physical. They play really good defense. Anahuac, and me and you talked about this, and everybody that calls me is like, what happened to Anahuac? You know what I mean?
Right.
Not just this game, what happened to Orangefield, you know, and so on. And it is. It's a different situation because they do have a lot of talent on that team. But at the end of the day, like Trent said, I mean, you start – when you get so upset – week to week, you start saying, you know, are we really that good? You know what I mean? On the scale
start
of things. Yeah, you start questioning. And I know that Trent had, you know, some high expectations for that football team this year.
Yeah, most definitely.
He let us know early on what he thought. But I think at the end of the day, and that's what I told him, I said, sometimes you got to just scale back and look at it from a state standpoint of view. How good are y'all really?
Right.
You know, are y'all good in our district?
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, but at the end of the day, when it becomes playoff time and you start matching up to your Hitchcocks and your Columbuses, I mean, your teams that are, you know, loaded from, you know, front to back, where do you really stand at? Do you have a chance?
Right.
And I think that they still have a chance that they could do some things. It's just they got to get on the right page.
They got to get healthy first.
Yeah, they got to get healthy. Their lines, I think their offense line's got some issues.
Yeah. At the end of they got to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Barrier has to be healthy. I mean, you don't have a kid that throws for 367 yards in a game, you know, and he's bummed in that game, right? Against a really – we know how good East Chambers really is.
Yeah.
You don't have a kid that throws for that kind of yardage and just you go the direction that you went.
Yeah.
I wish
they would have let him have off some time.
He should have
get well and went back to the quarterback they had last year.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, and I think you would get a healthy quarterback. Instead, you're going through the year bummed.
Right.
Bummed up. And then, obviously, when your line doesn't block, me and you were able to watch Anahuac live a little bit once we left our game and on the way home. And, I mean, there was two or three times we saw backside blocks not getting touched and then, of course, him getting sacked from behind.
Right.
And it's just hard to win football games when you don't block up front.
It's very hard. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that in Colesburg.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen those struggles over the last couple of years. But watching Anahuac, it was pretty cool because we got done over there in Buna. And we sat at the south end zone in Silsby and watched some of the Silsby West Orange game. And then
what was left of it.
Yeah, what was left of it. It was already 35-0. But we just got to watch a little bit. And then was watching the game on Anahuac Sports Live. They were still in the third quarter and then caught the fourth and finally got into Whataburger and turned it off.
Yeah.
But it was just – and you could tell Barrier wasn't even probably 50%.
Yeah,
you know,
it looked like he was definitely moving around slow.
So that deal, you know, that Buna game, you have a backup quarterback that's very capable of leading that offense. He did it the year prior.
Yeah.
You know, you put him back in there, you get Barrier, you know, he got bummed up at East Chambers. So you put put the backup in there, let him take some of those snaps. And we watched it on the game. They were running out of the Wildcat a little bit and so, kind of doing some different stuff. But those two games, at least that Buna game, because he got bummed up even more in Buna. And, I mean, let that backup run, you know, unless you see you're not being productive. And then, you know, Buna's young, and we've seen that. But I knew that going into it. But Buna's a really young football team. So maybe – you know, and I'm not questioning the coaches, Coach Niece and them. You know, we're not in their day-to-day operations.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on over there and the other guy. But, yeah, I mean, and that's part of – I think as a head coach, you know where you stand in the big scheme of things. And that just kind of goes unsaid. You're not going to walk in and tell your guys, hey, guys, you know, we look forward to having a great year this year. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all are about half as good as the teams out there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're not going to say that. But at the end of the day, when you go into that first game and you know that you're loaded, a Hitchcock or a Columbus and that deal, you've got to prepare yourself for a long season.
Right.
So you've got to make sure that when you're ahead in games, you're pulling your ones out and you're preparing for that.
Yep.
Then you got your teams that are just, they're fighting just to, they want the glory each and every week because they know that glory is going to end soon.
Right.
And so they just keep the pedal to the metal, you know.
Yep.
And I don't know if Anahuac is – I don't know the situation, but for whatever reason, that quarterback not getting any rest is – there's a reason there behind it, I'm assuming. But
right.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, Craig, I mean, let's talk scenarios in our district.
Well, I just pulled off – let's do this. Let's take a break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to circle out. We're going to start at 2A, Division II, kind of work our way up. Just – kind of what's relevant for us close, and then spread out as we move up. We're going to talk about that Love Lady district. We're going to talk about West Sabine's district, and kind of grow from there as we progress on through the second half or middle section of this show. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
To the 590 Sports Show, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart, he's out a little ill, taking Benadryl from all the hornet bites there in the Porter's Processing Swamp box. We give Trent heck, but we had a good conversation with him yesterday. And I was on the phone with Toby as we were headed to LaGrange. And Trent called me and I said, hang on just a second. I just merged us in. Trent didn't know what was happening.
We had our own podcast going down the road.
My wife was not happy.
She was
not happy.
Why did you do this again?
Yes. She said, you do this all the time. She's like, we're trying to look at the country. I was like, it's foggy. We're talking football, you know, but Trent, he gets so worked up and we kind of ragged on him a little bit on the way. So, it was a lot of fun. So one of the Facebook comments was, whistleblower comments in there. It says Anahuac has the nicest stadium in 10-3A. I believe that, but I did not know Harden had turf.
I didn't either. When I saw that, I was like, whoa. Yeah. When they get turf, we both were kind of like.
Yeah. That stadium at Harden's pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know.
Trent said they got a new gym, too.
Really?
That's what he said.
I haven't been over there. So, definitely something. It's been a long time since I've been over there.
When we played, they were in our district in basketball a couple years ago, and we went over there several different times, you know.
Well, I'm looking forward. We'll probably go catch a couple games over there through basketball season and stuff. But a buddy of mine lives there in Harden, Joey, and you met Joey at Tarkington game. He was dating stepson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
His daughter was dating stepson that played basketball. So that's a whole other story that we could talk about because it's absolutely
funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But so we're going to go down, do things a little bit different.
Yeah, let's change it up.
Yeah.
Talk about some playoff stuff and each district.
So we're going to drop down 3A, or excuse me, 2A Division 2. That's where we're going to get started. We're going to talk about District 12, 2A Division 2, as well as Love Ladies District, which is District 11, 2A Division 2. And we're kind of vested in that Love Lady deal, you know, with some kids. Don't know a whole bunch about this 12 2A Division 2, but what we do know is Deweyville's got it locked in. They're 5-0 in district, 8-1 overall. Sabine Pass is right. They play Sabine Pass this week. Sabine Pass 3-1, 5-3 overall. They're locked in, and West Sabine is 3-1. They have West Hardin this week. West Hardin, I mean, this is really where that playoff spot, the 3-4, right, is they're kind of battling for that 3-4 spot. West Sabine and West Hardin play each other this week. West Hardin's 2-2, and then you got Comasnell 1-3, Evadale 1-3, and then Holdays at 0-5. At West Hardin, we drove by there a few times.
Never been to a game there.
Been to a basketball game.
Yeah, been to a basketball game.
Never made it around 105. So
yeah,
in the Sarah Lake cutoff road, or not Saratoga cutoff road.
Right.
But we need to put that on the list. Kind of making some games. So I think it's pretty fair to say Deweyville, Sabine Pass, and West Sabine are in. West Hardin is probably in as well. Mm-hmm. But just hadn't locked it with that 2-2. And a win this week will kind of lock that in for them.
Yeah.
As we're going into week 10, Texas high school football, just 1 week behind that. But over on the other side of that, you're looking at District 11 2A, Division 2. Love Lady in the driver's seat. They have Cushing this week. Love Lady's 4-0 in district. Kind of what we expected. Was really shocked that they didn't beat that Timpson team earlier on this year in pre-district. But nonetheless, Grapeland Sandy's 3-1. We got old coach in Cold Spring up there in Grapeland.
And I was looking at the rankings, 2A Division 2 rankings. They got Grapeland sitting 9. They don't even have Love Lady in the top 10. And they're both 6-2.
What?
So I don't know a lot about Grapeland. I don't, but that is one thing that I was looking at earlier on here. They've got them ranked higher than Love Lady.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
So I don't know if it's the quality of losses that they took or what. I don't know. Well, so we'll have to kind of look into Love Lady.
Love Lady Grapeland, that's a November 8th football game. So
that's going to be that'd be a top one. That'd be who wins the district.
That'll probably be a game that ends up in the pick'ems.
It needs to be.
Yeah. We'll have to, Trent, take note of that.
Of course, once again, you know who's number one sitting in 2A Division 2?
Yeah.
Mart.
Yeah, but
once again, they're sitting number one.
And you know, I think Love Lady, if they wouldn't have lost that Timpson game, Love Lady would be up there in the top five, probably.
Maybe.
But losing that game, I mean, you go back and you look, they lose to Timpson and they lose to Garrison.
Yeah.
And those are both 2A Division 1 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So Garrison, as a matter of fact, Garrison and Timpson play this week. So ought to be a pretty good game. But so you got Love Ladies locked in, Grapeland's locked in, Overton is locked in. Alto, they're all but locked in, but not playoff eligible.
Yeah, Mount Enterprise looks like they're 2-2 and overall 6-2.
Yeah.
So it looks like they still got a shot in another two, I think, are out. Well, Tinhall and Cushing. Well,
but Alto is still part of serving that 2-year suspension.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They
okay.
Let me think about this, because it was in 2022 alignment.
This is the one that reported the wrong.
Yes. And they were suspended from postseason play.
Yeah, so enrollment numbers.
This may be the first year they're back eligible, but it doesn't seem like. It seems like, because it is a new realignment, right? So they would have missed that playoff and then the 23. So maybe this year they are playoff eligible.
Right.
Alto is. So, but, yeah, so Alto, they're on bye week this week, but they could very well slip into that four seed there as Mount Enterprise and Overton play this week, and then Tinahaw, Grapeland, Cushing, and Love Lady. So Alto being on the bye week, they're 2-3 right now. We'll see kind of how that plays out because it's going to be interesting. But, nonetheless, Love Lady.
We should probably put the Love Lady and Cushing in the pick'ems this week. And see how many people we can get to pick Cushing.
Do you think we could get a few of them?
I think we could, like, maybe that'll separate. You know, I mean, we got to try to get back in it, Craig.
I know. Like, we're at a point where we have to really drive,
mm-hmm.
you know, get to that, get some of these guys to go the other way so we can jump in. I mean, I know, I wish Trent had felt good enough to get that deal put together that way. Yeah, I could have, I wanted to see where I was at.
Yeah.
But jumping into District 12, 2A Division 1, Centerville leading that district, 3-0, 7-1 overall. Corgan's in the two spot. They're 2-1, 4-4 overall. They have Jewett Leon this week. Hearn 2-1 as well, 2-6 overall. They have Groveton, so they'll move up to Hearn should move up to 3-1 as Groveton's had their struggles. Jewett Leon's 1-2, 5-3 overall. Normandy 1-2, Groveton 0-3. So the locks in here in this district, in District 12, you're obviously Centerville's locked in. Looks like Corgan's locked in, right, in this one. And then Hearn as well being locked in. So we're still looking for that four seed to see who's going to slide in there in the four seed out of that district. Trying to pull up their by district round, which is going to be District 11, and I spelt it wrong. So leave it to that. Still can't get it right.
What are you trying to pull up?
Oh, it's H-E.
Oh, you're trying to pick up Hearn?
Hemp Hill.
Oh, Hemp Hill.
Yeah, it's trying to pull Hemp Hill up. So still didn't do it. Man, I'm struggling on the computer. There it is. There, they finally got it pulled up. Out of District 11, 2A. Shelbyville leading that district 3-0. Garrison 2-1. Joaquin 2-1. Timpson 2-1. And Hemp Hill 0-3. St. Augustine 0-3. So this week, Shelbyville has Joaquin. Garrison has Timpson. So the top four teams in this district are playing each other this week. And it's going to make pretty exciting over there. 1-3 and 2-4 basically playing each other. But I mean, it's going to come down to the final week. Let's see. Let's look at Timpson's schedule. If I can get it pulled up here. So Timpson has Garrison this week and then St. Augustine the following week. And Timpson's favored by 3 in that football game. I wish we would have took screenshots of.
Now, Timpson, did Anahuac play them?
Yes. No, they played Garrison.
Garrison, that's right.
They played Garrison.
And Garrison's 2-1 and 6-2 overall.
Yeah. One of those losses that Garrison took was to Anahuac. It was a 42-14 loss.
Yeah.
In week 3, that game was played down in Anahuac. So kind of a big loss there. But jumping into 3A, 3A Division 2, right, moving up the ladder. District 12, 3A. Got Newton leading that district. Woodville right behind them, 4-1. And that's just the top two there. Anderson, Shiro, and Koontz are sitting at 2-2 in the 3-4 spot. New Waverly's 1-3. Trinity, 1-3. Warren, 0-4. As you look at this, though, the games, Koontz and New Waverly play this week. And so that's going to be an interesting one.
Well, New Waverly will win that.
You would think. And then Anderson, Shiro, and Trinity play, which Anderson, Shiro should win that one. So Trinity's 1-3. So just say Trinity drops to 1-4. New Waverly goes to 2-3. It's going to drop Koontz to 2-3 if New Waverly was to win that football game. So New Waverly would be the head-to-head, but still got to finish that season off.
So you know? What is your thinking? This district, big picture. What do you think?
I think
Thanksgiving.
I think you probably have Newton and Woodville still playing.
You think they're still going?
I think those two are still going out of this district. And we haven't seen Woodville, but we have seen.
So you got East Bernard sitting out there at number 3 in the state. They would probably meet probably that round Thanksgiving weekend or right before it.
Right.
So they have to get through them, and then your bigger ones are Gunter, which won it all. They wouldn't get them to way late. Poth, that's another big one.
Well, but still, you look over at District 11, you got New Diana's.
Look who's sitting here at right. Number 9 is Rice Consolidated. Now, Rice Consolidated played Anahuac.
Yeah.
Remember that was, wasn't that a real close game early on, or was mm-hmm. that? And we were going, what is going on? Wasn't that?
Yeah. I'm almost positive. I could put up here. Hang on.
But anyways, yeah, they're sitting at 9. Canadian is sitting at 10. And all these names I'm throwing around is at every year type teams that are there.
Yes.
Now, Newton, I mean, obviously they're strong, East Texas. But for some reason, their name's not getting slung around a lot in this high. Well, they got 3 losses.
Right.
That's why.
Trying to pull up Rice Consolidated.
Yeah, I bet you the East Bernard and Woodville or East Bernard and Newton will meet pretty early on in the playoffs.
Well,
that'll be a New Caney game.
Yeah, that'll be a new. So, looking at this, looking at District 11, you got New Diana, Troop, ARP, right? Mm-hmm. ARP's 3-1, Troop's 4-1, New Diana's 4-0. New Diana and ARP play this week. West Rusk, 2-2, Elkhart, 1-3, Winona, 1-4, and Buffalo, 0-4, which I like kind of how Trinity just kind of stayed in that low, you know what I mean, in mm-hmm. the district that they're in, how they broke that up. But because really Elkhart and Trinity are really not that far apart.
No, you know, not at all.
Crockett's just dividing them, Crockett and Lovelady.
Yeah.
But with that being said.
But they put them in 2 different districts.
Yeah, so – just looking at it right now, you're looking at a Woodville ARP matchup, you know, the 2-3, and you're looking at a West Rusk and Newton, and Newton's going to roll through that.
Yeah, they're going to win their first one. It's going to come. That third round is where it's going to get interesting.
Yeah,
that's when you're going to run into East Bernard and some of them.
Yeah, that's that Thanksgiving week.
Yeah,
you know, and we're finding games to go to Friday and Saturday,
yep.
and catching probably 3 or 4 games. That's yep. what we'll catch.
And that's where you make a name for yourself. You know, that's where your town becomes you know, when you think of West Orange, you think of West Orange deep playoff runs, right?
Right.
That's how you do it. Not making the playoffs. It's because with them taking 4 teams, there's so many teams that make the playoffs.
Yes.
But when you go to that second and third round year after year.
14, yeah,
so it's like every year, like they're going to make, you know, a deep run, right?
Right.
That's how you do it. And that's where Woodville and I think Newton, as long as they stay down like that, they should each year.
Yeah, be playing Thanksgiving runs. Weekend. Yeah.
And like, I know their goal, obviously, is to make it all the way.
Right.
But it's hard to.
Let's be real.
You got to have some luck on your side. I mean, it's tough.
Newton hasn't been the powerhouse the last couple of years of what they have years prior.
Right.
Right. And speaking of Newton, and we haven't talked about this, but this year in the 2025 Texas Coaches Hall of Fame, Coach Curtis Barbe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, and much needed. Yeah. He, for those that don't know the story of Coach Barbe, he died at the hospital during a game on a Friday night. And I'll never forget it. Coach Barbe, Brian Barbe, was here in Cold Spring coaching through all of that. And I was pretty close with Brian at the time. And so really got some in-depth and really got to visit with Brian and how he was dealing with that, you know, losing his dad. It's somebody that, you know, your brother, right? Mm-hmm. He calls your dad all the time, talks about this and that. Yeah. And, you know, but with that being said, then that's one thing. But then when you add it in, your dad's been a coach, you know, and at the time whenever he passed away, 347 wins. He was number 4 in the state.
Yeah.
In his entire career, he was in Newton, Texas.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive. So congratulations to the Barbe family. They waited entirely too long, in my opinion, to get Coach Barbe in there, but he's there. But let's move up to our bread and butter.
Let's do it.
District 10 3A. Big game this week out of this district for the district championship. East Chambers in Orangefield. That game's in Orangefield. We'll talk about that in the pick'ems, I'm sure. Anahuac's on a bye week. Cold Spring hosting Hardin. And we touched on Hardin early on. So who has locked their spot? East Chambers in Orangefield?
They're in.
Cold Spring is not in.
Now let's talk about this.
Yeah.
District championship, once Orangefield and East Chambers play, it's really pointless to play that unless it's a point deal, right?
Right.
Because if it goes like this, let's say Cold Springs takes care of Hardin.
Yeah.
Let's say they lose to Anahuac. So then you've got your 4 teams in. East Chambers and Orangefield
Harden.
Yeah. So, okay, so right, okay, so it looks like East Chambers and Orangeville play this week.
Yes.
I think the only way that's going to make a difference is if East Chambers beats Orangeville by more than 38.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, because
They blanketed Orangeville
Anahuac out by 38.
Right.
So you have that factor.
Yeah, so that makes it, and that's probably not going to happen.
No, very far-fetched.
Yeah, yeah.
Very far-fetched.
And it's going to basically, okay, so let's look at it in the playoff ramifications. If you get first versus getting second, what is your choice of teams coming out of nine?
So over in nine, you got Westwood in the driver's seat, perfect on the
you
season.
You won't get them.
You got Dieball in the two seed right now. They have Crockett this week.
Okay, you probably won't get them.
Fairfield, 2-1. They'll be 2-2 after this week. Teague is 1-2, and Crockett is 1-2.
So it'll probably be Fairfield and Teague that's going to get in on that back end.
Yeah.
Is what it's looking like.
Because Teague has so Huntington this week.
Yeah, so that's what it's going to come down to with East Chambers and Orangeville. One of them's going to get them, the other one's going to get that.
Yeah. You're going to get
Anahuac is probably, if they go in at third, they're going to get Dieball. And then if Cold Springs or Harden goes in at fourth,
they're going to look at Westwood.
They're looking at Westwood.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not any direction you want to go.
Right. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting back and you're a playoff bounce around guy, you're just riding around. I mean,
yeah.
To me, right off the bat, you're like, okay, I'm ready to catch Westwood playing Hitchcock or one of them, right?
Right.
You're thinking at the end of the day, this whole group of teams here, you know, I think, honestly, out of this deal, we'd probably see two teams go on to the second round out of 10.
Well, and that's what we talked about, right? Yeah. You and myself and Trent, we kind of thought that the two districts were going to split.
Right.
What would go to the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
So I figured 1-2 out of
now, I'm not saying District that's 9. Just a lock.
No.
Because obviously Teague just played Westwood close, right?
Right. With a caveat.
We get that, but at the end of the day, I don't think East Chambers nor Orangefield is Westwood. Right.
And here's what has Fairfield this week, and they're going to play two quarters without their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So you have that caveat you got to throw in there as well.
But what I'm saying is, if you called me on a Saturday morning and said, man, could you believe East Chambers got beat by Teague? I'd be like, it don't surprise me.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Now, if you called me and said,
Westwood just went down. Yeah, Harden beat Westwood.
Yeah, Harden just beat Westwood. What? You know what I mean? That would be a little bit more.
Yeah, put it in reverse, Terry. Something ain't right.
Right.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be games that you and I are going to go catch, mm-hmm. right, out of this. Because these games here, you know, where we live in Cold Spring, we're kind of like midstream. I figured there'd be like that Westwood, say a Westwood Cold Spring game could either get played in Huntsville and or Lufkin, you know, kind of one of those two places would be an ideal spot for either one of them to play. So that one seed, four seed out of our district. Now you shift that four seed down to Harden. I think Lufkin would still kind of be a midway, either Lufkin or Woodville. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think if it's a Cold Spring Westwood situation, you're looking at a Huntsville, which would be cool.
Very cool.
We
very
talked
nice
about that stadium. And or a Lufkin game up there at A. Martin. So
Huntsville would be really good.
Yeah.
But right now, the way it sits, just so our listeners that are following the Trojans are following this district. So Cold Springs and Harden, this is a really, really big game for these
pivotal
two coaches
game. Yeah.
On who's going to make the playoffs. Right.
Right.
And I think that it's not a runaway by any means. I don't even know what the spread is on it. I'd like to see.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly what it is. They got Cold Spring by 19.
Okay.
So.
So if Cold Springs takes care of business and doesn't, you know, fumble their own selves up.
You know.
They should win it.
To talk about that game just briefly.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that concerns me with this football game is the healthiness of Tiger Parker. You know, he went out, he missed a game, right? He missed the East Chambers game and then come back and played this last week in Buna, but he only played the first half.
Yeah.
So him being healthy is key. You know a lot more, right, with Cameron and everything else.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he got something in his eye or something.
Okay.
What I'm understanding, but I don't know. But I will say though,
I was also told that he went out because he was dehydrated. Right?
Yeah. I think obviously Tiger being healthy is a big deal for you. But when they put in our linebacker in it back, did you not see the speed difference that you had?
No, I did.
And so I think if you're playing a team that's weak up front, I think that Tiger plays a big, big role. I think if you play a team that's big up, that's strong up front, that he's going to play a big role. If you play one that's not as big,
right,
that speed just can butt, and it just helps so much.
So here's the deal. Tiger had 11 carries for 81 yards. He busted 1,000 yards last week, which big milestone for a running back. DQ Gray had 5 carries for 65 yards. Caden had 3 carries for 14, 2 touchdowns. TJ Johnson, 4 for 56, which is really the best running game TJ's had all year.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie had 1 carry for 1. Landon Ellisor, 1 carry for 0 yards. The big stat that stepped out, David Rowe had 8 carries for 56 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So David did a lot of work with his legs. And when I got
sent, they were giving him that.
Yeah. When I got sent these stats, I was just like, I kind of looked at it and I was like, man, I thought we had more yards than that. But we didn't.
No, we didn't dominate them by any means. I mean, it was 14-0 at half.
Yeah. It's 21-0.
21-0 at half.
And we didn't do anything second half. David Rowe went 6 for 17 for 57 yards. So.
Yeah. They were, you know, David was keeping it, and they were giving it.
Yeah.
They were giving him that, and they were coming down and hitting that back.
Right.
And so he did what he was supposed to do. If they give that to you, you got to have a guy in there that will take it and go. And he was picking up good positive yards, and he did a great job on pulling it.
Yeah. No, he did. So this Harden game is really big. And it's not a give-me game for the Trojans. It's at home. I mean, we've been on this roller coaster for a couple of years.
I couldn't tell you, man, on this, to be honest with you. I've seen two different teams show up. It's just hard. I mean, I don't know a lot about Harden. That's why I say. I mean, the last time I watched Harden was they scrimmaged Liberty when we were over there doing the scrimmage, and I was not impressed with that group at that time.
Right.
But now everybody that plays them, they, you know, come away saying a lot of good things about him. And that's one thing that Trent would have been able to give us an insight on what he saw.
But agreed.
What he told us was that they're very physical on defense. They're going to play hard. They're going to, you know, are they better than Buna? He said, absolutely. So that's kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It puts you on edge.
Yeah.
Right?
Where are you at? You know,
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Right. Jumping up into 4A Division II. This district here is going to be a lot of fun. Is Hampshire Finette, West Orange 3-0. We know where we're going to be November 8th.
Yeah.
We're going to be at Hampshire Finette watching those two face off. Jasper 1-2, Shepherd 1-2, Silsby 1-2, Tarkington 0-3. Now, we know this as well as anything. You eliminate Shepherd out of the equation, really and truly. They have Hampshire Finette this week. The big game out of this district for the 3-4 spot, it's Jasper and Silsby going nose-to-nose. And that game is in the pick-ems. So,
yeah, right here it looks – and we called this early on. We said Hampshire Finette, West Orange, Jasper and Silsby would make the playoffs, right?
Right.
I think everybody kind of got a little excited because Jasper's not been as good as what they've been.
Right.
Right? I would say that. So everybody's kind of, maybe it's the year that's going to happen. No, it's not.
Yeah.
We've gotten past that. But at the end of the day, when you look at this, West Orange is making a pretty big splash in the state. So it's like they're moving up the chain. So that's one that could do some big things. Hampshire Finette could do some big things. Outside of that, the other ones I think will fizzle out pretty quick.
Yeah, I think Silsby and Jasper both. They'll probably win their first round.
They're set up to do that.
If you look at their bi-district round.
Yeah.
All right, you got out of District 10, 4A, you got Brookshire Royale, Columbia, Sweeney, Katy, Harmony, Lamarck, Sugarland, Harmony, and then Wharton. That's everybody in their district. Brookshire Royale has Wharton this week. Columbia has Lamarck, and they're both 2-1. Sweeney, they're 2-1 as well. And then Katy, Harmony is 1-0, and Lamarck is 1-2. So, when you look at this district, you got your top two, three, right? Probably, I mean, Lamarck's probably going to lose this week to Columbia.
It reminds me of the Willis, you know, their first round, they draw the Aldine district. It's a joke. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. So you got these, the 409 teams, they're going to be moving on to the second round of the playoffs, you know, pretty easy.
Yeah, I would say that.
And I will go on a limb and just flat say that District 9 will sweep, and everybody's going to get pumped up. Oh, District 9, we swept, and then you're going to play
then
somebody.
Then they'll start falling off.
Yeah, they'll drop off pretty quick.
But I do think Hampshire, Burnett, West Orange will make a pretty good run. I mean, let's look at the deal here. Let's see. So, obviously, we got Carthage at the top, Brock second, Sinton third, Seminole fourth, Graham fifth, Gilmer sixth, West Orange seventh, Hampshire Finette eighth.
Yeah.
In the state. And then you go Glen Rose and Pleasant Grove.
Right.
So, yeah, they're right there in the top 10 out of one district.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be – that'd be fun to follow.
It's going to be a lot of fun as we look at it. Moving into 4A Division One. Get to Region 3. You got Little Cypress, Huffman, big game this week. For those two teams, they're playing each other.
Let's pull out like this, and I think big playoff picture, these guys, everybody in here will be gone soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about it, but at the end of the day, even their – I mean, Huffman throwing up 5-0 and 8-0, that's – they'll end up having an 8-3 season.
Yeah. So,
well, I'll take that back. They'll end up being 10-2 or something.
Hang on just a second. Let me pull it up. I hit my.
Then you got Livingston down there at 0-8.
Yeah, poor old Livingston.
Yeah,
man, I don't know. There's a lot going on over there.
I go back to it again. I don't think that they're sitting on a hotbed of athletes down there.
No.
I think you just had it just there is what it is, and they might have a wave like Lumberton did. You know what I mean? Who knows? You may have – you go look at their lower classmen. Who knows? It may.
Right.
But right now, I think it's just – it's tough.
So, you drop over – you look at their by-district round, which is District 9 4A, right? You got Kilgore, Henderson, Longview, Tyler Chapel Hill, Lindale, Maybank, Palestine. Palestine, Maybank are winless. Kilgore leading this district, which we talked about Kilgore way early on this season. And Kilgore's picked to go to the big show.
Yep.
Right.
They're the ones that beat Carthage.
Right. They beat Carthage. So you got Kilgore 4-1, Henderson 3-1, Longview, Pine Tree 3-1, Tyler Chapel Hill 3-2. So I mean, right now as you're looking at it, Tyler Chapel Hill is on the brink, right?
Yeah.
As, they have Henderson this week. So.
Now, Tyler Chapel Hill's coached very well. That's a program.
Story program.
Yeah. So, and programs will win you games.
Pull this up.
Yeah, you got the Palestine Wildcats 0-8, but then their neighboring school, Westwood, is
so
ranked.
Chapel Hill and Henderson play this week. Chapel Hill's favored by 32. This is the final game of the season for Chapel Hill.
They're favored by 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll definitely get in then.
Yeah. They're going
to That'll make them 4-2, and that'll make
Henderson drop 3-2.
Yeah.
Right. And then Henderson will have another game, but Chapel Hill will be done for the season, getting ready for the postseason as they got the bye week. I remember Cold Spring used to always have the bye week the last week of the season. So we're going to take a quick break here on the 590 Sports Show. Got a few guys still hanging in there on the live stream as well. So we're going to take a quick break here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back.
From custom processing, Professional Guide and Hunt's high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to PortersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis in the Randy's Rubs hot box. I can promise you it don't suck, Randy's Rubs. We talked about them burgers last week. Ooh. That we made for that UT game, OU game.
Yes, sir.
They didn't suck. I can promise you that. And
I bet he's happy with what A&M did.
Yeah.
I bet he's stoked.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen him on social media. He's probably still recovering from that. You know, that was the late game.
Tell you what, know. That Reed guy really, he Johnny Manziel'd him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got everybody else in the SEC then. Mm.
Very interesting. We're going to go quick through 5A, Division II.
Well, and, we got to be fast.
I mean, we don't have to be. I mean, we got all night. Trent's not here. It's
true.
We don't. Congratulations to his wife.
Winning the volleyball district championship.
Yeah, out of District 10, 3A. First-year head coach down there in Anahuac.
And pretty cool.
They won it, so I'm super, super excited for her and with what she's done. So with that program this year and looking to see how she does growing. Yeah. So Trent said after that Hardin loss that he's going to quit broadcasting football. He is transferring straight into volleyball.
Catching bands on Saturdays.
Yeah. And the bands on Saturday as Anahuac's band moved on to the next round as well. He said they got home at like 2:30 this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And we thought
it was later than I was.
We thought rodeoing was bad.
Yeah.
Jeez. So let's jump down. Region 2, which I don't understand why 5A changed to a different region, but they did. Region 2, District 8. As you look at this district and how it plays out, is you got Nederland in the driver's seat, 5-0. Montgomery, 4-1. Port Neches Groves, 4-1. Huntsville, 3-2. Montgomery Lake Creek, 3-2. Dayton, 1-4. West Fork, 1-4. Splendor is at a whole new level.
Splendor.
0-5. 2-6 overall record, but 0-5. So
let's spend some time here on this.
Let's talk about this because.
Yeah, this district here is one that we said early on is a really, really good district in the state wise. You know, I had kind of brought up a few things and we talked about you have some districts that, you know, they're back and forth. And if you're more focused or honed in on the real guys, you know,
right.
You're kind of like, why are we discussing this? This is like. This, you know what I mean?
Right.
This district here, you got P&G who won the state last year. They just had a big matchup with them in Nederland. Nederland walks in and beats them. Here's the big kicker, though. I've been extremely big on Huntsville because they got a lot of talent. They're too deep in a lot of places. They're built to make deep playoff run. And last year, they made a deep playoff run. They got most of their guys back.
Right.
Bet a few guys banged up here and there, but they played some really, really close games.
Really close.
So they got beat by Brenham, was one of their losses. And then they had P&G come to their place. They went to kick the field goal to win the game. It hit the upright. They got beat. Then they just got beat by Lake Creek.
Question for you as I'm playing the banjo.
Yeah.
Is this not one of the two toughest districts with the top three teams in the state?
I would say.
And I got somewhere I'm going with it, and we'll go there in a little bit.
Yeah.
But also look at that North Shore district, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying, to your point, you have three teams that are 3 points away from that game going either way.
Yeah.
They're three-point games.
I know.
That's how tight it is.
But here's the kicker on this. Huntsville and Nederland this week. If Huntsville does not walk into Nederland and win that game, they do not make the playoffs.
That's unbelievable.
I'm going to say that again. They do not make the playoffs.
There's no way possible that if not win.
Yeah, you go back and you look and you go, okay, well, you know, they're 5-3 right now. Who did they get beat by? They got beat by Brenham, which some would say that they could have won that. Brenham's got a really, really good running back over there, and I think they caught him off guard and got that.
Right. And that was a 35-39 game.
Yeah. So, close game. Then they turn around and lost the P&G on the field goal.
Right.
Then they get beat by Lake Creek. Now, Lake Creek, felt was down this year a little bit. But obviously, you know, good programs are just going to find ways to win. And that's a big win for them. And that was a shocker to me. So, now they've got to go in and beat Nederland, who just beat P&G.
Here's the funny part. They have Huntsville picked to win this one by 22.
Yeah, so do the math. That's what when I tell you Huntsville is loaded.
Yeah,
I'm telling you they are loaded. They got their starting quarterback that they've had.
Right.
Okay. Passing guy mobilized pretty good. Then they got a younger guy that they put in that they let him run the Wildcat.
Yep.
This guy is a bigger statue guy, a little faster. he can do some different things. So when you're preparing for Huntsville, they can do different things. Up front, their defensive line is stacked all the way across. So they dominate the line of scrimmage a lot. Their DBs are real, real catty. They're going to come downhill. They're going to hit you.
I want to throw a stat at you. Tishon Brown, junior running back, this last week, 184 yards rushing, averaged 10.8 yards per carry. His longest run last week was 87 yards, two touchdowns on 17 touches. 17 carries for 184 yards.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I found this a while ago.
Yeah, and he was enrolled in Cold Springs in junior high.
Yeah, and now he's in
elementary. He went to school at elementary and then I think got to junior high midway and left.
They moved to.
But yeah, no, he's a hoss.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good back.
Yeah. And we talk about retaining kids, mm-hmm. retaining teachers, retaining kids. This is one. But
yeah.
I found this and I was like, and now we're in talking about this Huntsville Nederland game. Yeah. Huntsville's favored by 22 in this deal.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I would probably say that I have no issues picking Huntsville over Nederland.
We're going to find out.
Because a lot of that PNG and Nederland, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, they earned it, but that's a rivalry game, and it's so hard to figure out which way that goes.
That particular game, you throw everything out the window.
Yeah,
you
throw it out. Yeah, exactly.
You got to throw it out the window.
But when you look at paper, Huntsville, I thought, honestly, would win that district. I really did. I felt like they would win that district. If not, they would get second behind PNG.
So let me ask you this. You look at the standings. You got Nederland. Who is
– Look at Montgomery.
Who's the fourth place team? It's got to be Montgomery,
right? It's going to be Lake Creek and Montgomery, P&G, and Nederland, unless Huntsville goes in there and takes care of business.
Right. And we'll know it all, you know, obviously this week. But this district, Nederland.
And Nederland's clinched. They're in. They're 5-0. Yeah,
They're 5-0. They're there.
Then Montgomery and them at 4-1.
And P&G, they're in.
So, locked. Yeah, it's going to come down to Lake Creek or Huntsville. And if Huntsville beats Nederland,
yeah,
that's how they're going to get in.
Absolutely, because Lake Creek's got a gimme this week.
Yeah,
with Swindor.
Swindor.
Yeah, not even put it in the pick-ems.
Well, did put Swindor put 70 on Cleveland.
I forgot about.
They were
that.
One of the nine that did that.
I forgot about that. I mean, Cleveland's given up more 70-point games than anybody probably in the history of Texas high school football.
I would say
this year, they're by district. I mean, District 7, 5A, Division 2.
Let's talk real quick, though, before you go off on this. What district does PNG and them draw?
This is it. This is it. District 7, 5A.
Yeah, name those out.
Texarkana, Texas High Tigers, 4-0. Perfect on the season. They're 8-0. I got Jacksonville this week. Marshall Mavericks, 3-1, 6-2. They got Hallsville. White House, which is where Trent was this weekend. They're 3-2. They're on a bye week. Hallsville's 2-2. Mount Pleasant, Nacogdoches 1-3. Jacksonville, 0-5. So you got 1, 2, 3. You got pretty much got your top three locked in. Now, depending on what Hallsville do, this district, who is really locked in? Texarkana, Texas High is locked in. I feel like Marshall's locked in. White House is locked in, 3-2. So it's going to come down to these. You know, what they can do.
Yeah, but here's the deal. So Texarkana is taking care of business. They're 4-0, they 8-0 overall.
Who they played?
If Huntsville takes care of business, they're going to draw Huntsville, which to me, you're really drawing a 1-2 seed there.
Yeah.
But you're getting them at 4.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to get.
Yeah. Let's look at.
They may sweep that district. The only one I could see them, if Huntsville gets in,
Marshall.
I could see Montgomery beating, one of these teams beating Montgomery.
Like Marshall or something like that.
But other than that, I don't see PNG going down. I don't see Huntsville going down if they happen to get in.
And really don't see Nederland.
And, well, that Nederland won't be in. They'll be out. No, Nederland, they
Nederland
will be in.
Will be in.
Nederland's not going down. Yeah, PNG and Huntsville. It would be Montgomery would be the only one I could see. And I'm not taking anything away from Montgomery.
Yeah.
Because they've stepped up and done well.
Yeah.
And I mean, Texas High, when I was in college and 02 or 03, Texas High, I want to say, won it one year.
Yeah.
They're orange and white. They were good back then. And then Marshall's always a hotbed of athletes there in Marshall.
Yes, they are.
And
I remember going and watching Marshall and Fort Bend Marshall at the Star up in Dallas.
Jack Alvarez, I thought, was at Marshall unless he's left. But they're starting to kind of turn that around.
Yeah. Moving into 5A Division I. We're going to talk about, Lufkin, District 9, 5A. Lufkin in the driver's seat, Barbers Hill right behind them, Galveston Ball, Port Arthur Memorial. There's your top four. I don't care.
You're leaving Sterling out.
Sterling's not, They're going to get ready for basketball early. Is the way I look at it. I know that's not right.
That's not right.
But it is. Sterling and United, they're 0-4. Beaumont Westbrook, they have Galveston Ball this week. Galveston did lose this last week to Barbers Hill, but I just see Galveston losing another one. You pretty much lock this district in.
So who do they
round one look at is the Houston schools.
Oh, it's one of those Willis deals. You draw Aldi.
Yeah. Houston, Galena Park, Houston, Westbury, Galena Park, Sterling, Houston, Spring Woods, Houston, Austin, Houston, Sharpstown, Madison. Of course, we remember when Madison was legit, you know.
Oh, you're talking about Vince Young.
VY days. Yeah. So
5A D1. Okay. So here, this is your tops in 5A. You got Aledo. Obviously, they're there every year.
Right.
Frisco, Lone Star, Highland Park, A&M Consolidated, Denton Ryan, Corpus Christi, Flower Bluff, Richland, College Station, San Antonio, Piper, and Frisco, Ready. So with that, run into A&M Consolidated or College Station.
Yeah.
They'll get along.
Yeah. They'll all be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just so everybody knows, Galveston Ball has an athlete. It's a five-star guy who's going to Texas, a baseball and football guy.
Yeah.
So once he leaves, we'll hone in on Galveston Ball the next couple of years, and you're going to be going, what happened?
Where did Galveston go? Yeah. And that kid with the history of what Galveston's produced, that kid's probably going to go play in the NFL somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They've produced more NFL athletes in the state, you know, than anybody else. Let's jump up 6A real quick. 16-3A. Willis in the driver's seat. They have the Woodlands this week.
Who?
Conroe.
Oh.
What's your thoughts on that? That game.
Woodlands and Conroe.
Yeah. Conroe.
I would say the Woodlands.
They're both 5-1.
Conroe's just got a back that's real good. I think that's about it from what I understand.
Yeah. The Woodlands are 7-1 overall, like Conroe is. The Woodlands, both of their loss was to Willis, right? Then you got the Woodlands College Park, 4-3, Grand Oaks. They're going to lose this week. They have Willis on it. That's a Thursday night game. Then Caney Creek, 2-4, Oak Ridge, Cleveland, and New Caney face off this week. Somebody's going to get a win. Should we throw that game in the pick'ems?
You're trying to create separation.
Yeah. Should we throw that game in the pick'ems? I need a yes or a no.
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. So that's out of 16-3A. Then jumping over into Galena Park. North Shore's district. This is that other district that I was talking about, right? You got North Shore, 5, they're perfect. Atascocita, 7-1, Summer Creek, 7-1, and Kingwood, 5-3. CE King is out of it with their loss this last week to Kingwood. So you look at that, you look at this district, and these top three teams, they're competitors, right? It's like,
yeah.
Either way it goes, it sucks to draw them. Now, the good thing about 6A is they'll take big school, small school in this situation. And, you know, Galena Park's going to go big. Summer Creek's going to go big. So Atascocita and Kingwood will go small with the enrollment numbers. So it's going to be interesting. And I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of time because you still got the big, small, and how it's going to break out. And then going to their bi-district round, kind of what's going to do what. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Interesting district. Now, like you say, that Willis district, they're going to go play some Aldine schools and
then they're going to blow through it.
Yeah, and then they're going to turn around and face DeSoto, to where the people like over in Bryan's district, they're going to, you know, the four seed's going to draw DeSoto
or Duncanville
in the first round. It's just going to be like, you know.
So. Yeah, no, you're right. But this district right here, though, I mean,
yeah,
it's safe to probably say that Summer Creek, It's probably safe to say North Shore or Tascadia, one of them will be playing Duncanville for the state title.
Yes.
I would probably venture to say that.
I agree.
Now, it depends on who goes Little and not. That's what seemed like Katy would always try to take that route.
Right.
Katy, if you know, the Katy, if they would take that Little school route, they would avoid playing
that Duncanville.
Duncanville, yeah. Them, yeah.
And be able to roll.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the alignment and where, you know, everybody's at.
Yeah. You want to dive into the pick'ems?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. I have not picked a game of the week yet. I guess I got it figured out. What's going to be the game of the week? Got seven games lined up. Y'all know the drill on the pick'ems, right? Go to 590N Sports, chime in over there on the page. Give us a like, give us a share, join in. It's late in the season now, right? You're not going to catch up to Toby and Craig.
Yeah. You need to get way past me. You're on top of the winners.
So, Trent went 5-2 this last
Trent
week.
Trent is at the top.
Yeah. He was number three until he went 5-2. He's going to drop. I'm going to go ahead of him
this week. You think?
I think so. I'm going to be real close.
I don't know.
I'm going to be real close. That'd be pretty sweet. I'll be in the top five whenever I look at him. Yeah. So, unless he skews the numbers.
Yeah.
So, but I did go 6-1. You went 5-2. We had fun last night or Friday night.
We did.
At Whataburger. Waiting on games to finish. And they were playing with us with that Hitchcock Columbus game. We were waiting on it and stuff.
Well,
our
game started at what, 7?
Yeah, we started at 7.
So we were done by 9:20. And then they run the slot T.
Yeah.
So
we got out of there early.
We're gonna be out of there like extremely early.
Yeah, if we could have got them to trim it down, like cut halftime out, we could have went and ate at that place over in
Danes.
Kirbyville.
Danes
over in Kirbyville, but we didn't make it. So first game in the pick'ems. I mean, this is really tough, but I got Summer Creek at Kingwood. I think it's a really good football game.
Yeah, I got Summer Creek in that one.
Got Summer Creek.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna follow suit with you.
Their defense is so strong.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if it went the other way. And that's what's cool about pick'em games, right?
Right.
We try to pick the ones that are going to end up being really, really close.
Yeah. And I think this is going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be tighter. Now, remember, Summer Creek coming into this had outscored their opponent 215-0.
Yeah, and that's why I'm taking them, because their defense.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. Here's one.
Who you got?
I went Summer Creek as well. I went Summer Creek as well. I mean, that's a home game no matter what. Just what side of the stadium are you sitting on?
Yeah,
it's at Turner Stadium. It's really probably be a good game to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Next game, LCM at Huffman. Game's on the road. LCM coming off a big win over Bridge City this last week. Huffman is the number one offense out of this district.
Right.
And that's per the stats coming from Brian Besh, Polk County Enterprise. It follows the Livingston Lions. I'm going to start this one. I think I'm going to put a shell shock on there and create some separation. I'm going with Huffman in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to follow suit with you on that as well.
Are you really?
Yeah. I didn't even take Little Cypress last week against Bridge City.
You're right. You did.
Yeah. Now, I'm not jumping on any of these. I think they'll all be gone pretty quick. But
no, most definitely.
But I would take Huffman over Little Cypress, and it could go either way, too.
I agree. Mm-hmm. This is game, and I'm going to bet that after that Little Cypress and the Golden Triangle guy, them guys down there in Anahuac and stuff like that, they're going to be chiming in. They're going to go Little Cypress, you know.
Oh, you know it.
They're going to hold true to that 409. Right?
Yeah, they
they're
need
dedicated.
To.
Yeah.
They don't need to jump over here on the 5-9 side.
Yeah, they don't need to get to this area, the 9-3-6.
Yeah,
come on. What about this one? Silsbee on the road at Jasper.
Ooh, that's a tough one. What concerns me is, well, obviously they got blanketed by West Orange.
Shut out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also cost me 2 weeks in a row. And they picked them when I didn't pick them, and then they won.
What does Big E say?
Yeah, you know what he's thinking.
I mean,
after
it's
last
almost,
week, he may be thinking different, right?
It's almost, is it worth calling him and saying, putting him on the air? Say, Big E, who you
what
got?
What do you think?
Yeah.
And then you got Jasper. Man, that's, that is tough. Let me go back. Let me tell you, I'm going to go back. We're going to hinge this off Shepherd.
Oh.
I'm going to hinge that off of Shepherd here. So I'm going to see what.
What did
if
each team
play?
Did,
and they may play them this week, so that's probably my luck.
No, they don't play them this week. Silsbee plays Jasper. They probably play them the last week of the season.
They play them on the last week. Dang.
All right. But
I was going to kind of see what they done with them.
Right.
Well, okay, so here you go. So Let me do it the other way. Let me go to Jasper.
I'm going to tell you who I'm going to go with.
You can go ahead.
Without looking at it. I'm going with the home team. I'm going Jasper in a tight ball game. Well, we watched this game last year. You and I did. And your boys went with us. And that was a fun football game
okay,
to go
here,
to.
Here we go. Okay, come here on. We go. All right, West Orange and Jasper.
Okay.
West Orange wins the game. They win 39-36.
Yeah.
Silsby plays West Orange, and they lose.
Shut out. 35-0.
35-0.
Yeah.
So there goes a kind of a telltale that Jasper played them.
So closer. I'm going to type it in here, and you tell me if I'm typing it wrong. Is that who you're going with?
I'm
going
to go with Jasper.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You're going Jasper.
Because of that.
So, Big E, if Silsby wins this, he's going to fire off.
I told you.
I told you, don't pick against him.
Yeah.
So, y'all in the comments, y'all chime in over there. Tell us who you got. Here's a good one. East Chambers at Orangefield.
Ooh.
We've seen both of these teams. And I feel like Trent's secretly watching this live stream at home.
Right.
And he's thinking, yeah, I'm going opposite of what they're, you know what I mean? East Chambers at Orangefield for the district championship.
Mm.
Right. Or what should be. Right. And I'm going to start it. And I know you're looking at everything right now.
It's tough. I've seen them both.
I think East Chambers is more athletic than what Orangefield is. And I'm going to go East Chambers. But I said that earlier.
What stands out to me at Orangefield is the back was good. Quarterback 6'5", 230.
Yeah.
They got a defensive end, number 9, that blitzes in very, very well. Okay. Outside of that, they're just a football team. East Chambers, on the other hand, I don't have anybody on that team other than 11. Who was hitting the hole pretty hard at back.
Well, you had
but
11.
Other than that, and their linebackers were pretty good. And all. They were just a solid team.
You had that zero that they'd run those jet sweeps with. Real speedy, real shifty, ran the ball
with. They can't match Orangefield's back.
I think that zero and that back for Orangefield are close.
Mm.
I think 11.
That kid from Orangefield is a true back.
Here's my deal. Orangefield has one back, right?
Yep.
East Chambers has 2-3 backs.
I'm leaning towards East Chambers. Let's get that straight because I think they're a solid team.
But we need some separation. I think that stud quarterback for Orangefield, I think he's going to really throw the rock.
I think he's really going to do well. Yeah, exactly. So they're 6-2. They lost to Woodville and they lost to Bridge City. That are Orangefield's two losses.
Yeah.
So then you look at their wins. They beat New Waverly. I think East Chambers is better. They beat Hardin. East Chambers, I think, is better. They beat Anahuac. I think they're better. Cole Spring. I'm gonna go with East Chambers.
You're going East Chambers too. And here's the kicker, right? And
just Orangefield in general history. I mean, we looked it up the other day. Were they like 500 football for their career?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's never been a hotbed for a place to want to be.
Yeah.
Orangefield. Now, this year, I think, yes, with that back there, he's a lot better. But still, I think at the end of the day, in the big picture, big spectrum, I don't see them getting past, like, say, the second round. But East Chambers, on the other hand, they've done some things over the years. It's a little bit more, especially with basketball.
I agree.
Of course, I think Orangefield's pretty loaded in basketball, too. I think you gave me rankings the other day.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Orangefield is.
That's a tough toss-up. That's a tough one there, man.
Yeah. I agree.
But I got to go one way, and so I'm going to go East Chambers.
I'm struggling on the game of the week as I scroll through here, and I think I know what I'm going to do. I truly feel this. This next game, Madisonville on the road at Belleville. This was going to be my game of the week, and then I changed it.
Oh, so it's not the game of the week.
It's not the game of the week.
It's just another game on here.
This is just another game. I'm not making you pick a score. Here's the deal.
Well, I'm ready to pick my winner.
Both teams have equal records. Yeah. I got to do this for the listeners, right? Belleville's 3-0. Madisonville's 3-0 in district. Obviously, they got each other. Behind that, you got Giddings, 1-2. LaGrange, 1-2. Out of district 11-4A, right? So Division Two, then you got Sealy and Caldwell. LaGrange, I actually went to, I was in LaGrange over the weekend.
Yeah.
Nice little stadium over there. Mm-hmm. The LaGrange Leopards, and they were playing Hallettsville. Hallettsville's Little League football freshman was running the RPO and throwing the football. They yeah. went like 50% passing. I thought it was pretty impressive. So Belleville at, excuse me, Madisonville at Belleville. Belleville's picked by 19.
Here's my deal. Let's kind of go through this real quick. It's worth going through.
Go.
So Madisonville here, this is what they did. They beat Dieball 28-27, which yep. kind of that's shocking, like, really. Then you got Navasota 27-20, but then it gets interesting. They lost to Malakoff, which is ranked yep. in the top high, you know, 28-29. So even match team in Class 3A.
You're going Malakoff through, is you're top. Going through yeah. Madisonville. Cause I'm
yeah,
gonna,
I'm going through Madisonville. Yeah.
I'll piggyback to Belleville.
I'm going Madisonville. Then they go to Columbus, which is another top 3A team, right?
Right.
They lose 35-62.
Okay.
Then they turn around and play center. They lose 14-17. Now, those three teams right there are top teams.
Right.
I mean, top teams. I know you're dropping down of classification, but top teams.
Right.
Then you get LaGrange. They won 56-42. Then they beat Caldwell pretty handily, 56-14. Then they beat Sealy 38-14. Now, Sealy had put some runs together. They were just pretty right. decent. I think we discussed that may have been in the pick-ons. We talked about it one time. But they end up winning that game pretty good. Now they get Belleville. Now, last year I went and watched this game in the playoffs, and Belleville ended up winning
right.
to knock Madisonville out, I think the third or fourth round.
Yep.
Belleville went on to play for the big deal, and then
so on the other side of that, Belleville, that's what they've done.
Yep.
They lose to Salina, 49-30.
Okay.
They beat Stafford. They shut them out 30-0. Fort Bend Crawford, they shut them out 62-0. Here's the big one. They lose to Hitchcock 21-14. Next week, they lose to Columbus 49-35. They beat Sealy 35-28. They beat LaGrange 63-20. And they shut Giddings out 60-0.
What'd they do with Columbus?
49-35.
Columbus. They lost 49-35.
Yeah.
And Madisonville lost 35-62.
Yeah.
And they're picked by 22. Yeah. Belleville is.
Yep. My pick's Belleville.
Yours, and I think on paper that's where you need to go.
Yeah.
I like Madisonville. I think they're scrappy. I'm trying to think last year when I went to that game. I know that they were beat up front big time. Like Belleville had their big boys were
right.
not very dominant.
Right.
I want to say by halftime that game was pretty much over. Seemed like when they played last year. Now I know Belleville's lost some people, so they're not quite as good as they were
right.
last year. Madisonville got most of theirs back. They didn't lose a lot. That is like, ooh, it's tough.
Yeah, it's real
damn,
tough.
Craig, that's a tough one.
Almost
this is
been.
The difference where you go 3-4
yeah.
versus going 6-1.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's games like and this have, and that last game, that Jasper game, you know,
right.
where you lose one of them and you lose another one and you're like, man, you know.
Yeah, it's domino effect.
Yeah, as far as you know, you done lost 3 or 4 and you're out of it.
Right.
Madisonville versus Belleville. This is a really – Belleville's picked by 19.
I feel like that Jeopardy theme song needs to be playing right now.
Yeah, it needs to be
right
playing because
yeah.
if I say I'm going to go with Belleville and they win, I'm glad I did that. But if I go Belleville and the other way, I'm going to be like, dadgummit, I knew I should.
My gut was telling me
I wanted
me
to go that way, but yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a tough one, but I'm gonna go Belleville just because they're a slot T team. They're gonna kind of control the clock. I'm gonna go Belleville in this game.
So right now, we are dead even on our picks. Like dead even.
Yeah.
On our picks, all the way across the board. You and I are.
Yeah.
No separation getting created. In this next one, I don't like this, but I looked around and really couldn't find anything that just stood out for me, you know, to change
right.
and put in here. I mean, you know what? Screw this. I'm taking this game out. Harden at Cold Spring.
What game do you take out?
P&G and Montgomery. That's not a game to put in there.
Yeah, it's not a good one to put in there.
This is a good game because this is playoff implications, right?
Yeah, well, this goes back to the same thing. It's like, dadgummit.
So here's the deal, right? And you just wipe everything else out because what we know about Cold Spring and what we've seen with Harden, right? You wipe everything out with these two. And I just literally, you're sitting here, I just wiped it literally. Yeah. So, and Trent even told me, he's like, man, but you're going to put the Cold Spring Anahuac game in next week. Well, you know what? If Cold Spring beats Harden, Anahuac's not a factor. I mean, you know what I mean? So let's just go ahead and say Anahuac's probably not going to make the playoffs with the best team they've had in about 10 years at the end of the day. If it goes this way, this Harden-Cold Spring game, lot there, home game for the Trojans.
Yeah. This game here, I think, is, Craig, it's one of those that it's extremely easy to say, well, Cold Spring's going to win this game. It really is.
Right.
And there's nothing on paper saying that you should take Harden in this game.
No.
There's no, now, would it surprise anybody if they popped up? No, because they're that team that could do that.
Right.
Okay? They're that team that could do that. But I'm going to go Cold Springs in this game just because that's what's supposed to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Cold Springs in this game to help my record.
You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I've told you this as well. This game scares me more than any other game on the schedule because there's always that sleeper, right? Like, what do you do, right? And Anahuac kind of fell into this last year out of this district, right? And I feel like Harden's that sleeper team. On paper, I mean, if you look at it, Cold Spring's supposed to win this game by 19. Now, I will one thing I will say that's a game changer for Cold Spring. Bautorama went 4-for-4 on extra points.
Yeah.
One of them for 25 yards out, which is really, it's a game changer, right? If you get stopped on a two-point conversion, you're leaving 1 point on the field no matter what, at a minimum of one. And we've seen it in situations over the years where you lose the Shepherd game, we barely got by 2 points, right? We stopped them on a two-point conversion. If Shepherd was able to kick some extra points in that situation, Shepherd wins the Battle of San Jacinto.
Yep.
Right? So that is a highlight that we'd never touched on when we talked a little bit about that Buna game. I'm going – man.
You want to make separation, so you got to – sometimes you got to go on the limb, and sometimes it pays off. Like pays off big, makes you move up 5 spots.
And here's the deal: is this game right here? And I've said it for how long? Have I been saying that this game scares me?
It hadn't scared me because, like I said, I was going off what I seen when they scrimmaged Liberty last year. And other than that, I don't follow Harden's football team that well. But now they're in our deal, and so kind of having to watch. And then the Anahuac thing just really blows my mind. I took Cold Springs. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, you telling me there's a 19-point spread, that makes it feel even better. But I get it. I mean, you know, the way you feel about it, and you're like, what if they get us down?
Right.
What if they get us down?
You know, and David Rowe, really, he's thrown the ball well all year. He's been good, you know. Caden has not had the best games over the last couple of weeks receiving.
Right. Last game he definitely did.
Right. And it part of it was, I mean, last week he dropped one that hit him in his hands, first pass thrown to him, it hit him in his hands, and you could see, but behind that, passes behind him, you know, were a little high, you know, not good balls overall. David threw was his worst passing percentage last week against Buna that he's had all year long. As much as I want Cold Spring to win this, I got to go Harden in this football game. And it's a hard decision. It really and truly is, but I have
so
to.
So Craig's going the Harden Hornets. So you're thinking they're going to come in and sting the Trojans like they did the
I'm going to tell you
Anahuac Panthers.
I'm going to tell you that win last week against Anahuac
was impressive to you.
Was
late in the year.
Late. It's a late in the year win for them, right? It tells those kids we have hope, right? And I
they have no. I mean, they have no reason not to think they can't come right in and win that game.
And so I think that that just elevates the tempo just a little bit more for Harden, and then coming into our house and say, you know what, we're going to hit them in the mouth. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Game of the week. I think you knew where I was going on this one. Huntsville on the road at Nederland.
Yeah.
That's a good game of the week.
Very good game of the week. Very good game of the week.
You know, throw the records out. We talked about them a while ago.
I mean, most people, what they're going to do here, Craig, they're going to scoreboard it.
Yeah.
They're going to say, okay, so Huntsville played P&G. They got beat, right?
Right.
Then they're going to turn around. They're going to say Nederland played P&G. Now, when P&G played Huntsville, they came to Huntsville and got beat. When Nederland played P&G, they went to their house and beat them.
Right.
So, at the end of the day, there's your common opponent.
Right.
So, Nederland's supposed to win this game.
Hold up.
Nederland is sitting at the top of the district at 5-0.
Right.
And Huntsville's sitting down here at 3-2.
Yep.
So, I mean, there it is. I mean, Nederland's supposed to win this game. Now, then you got the spread. And then all of a sudden, they're thinking
that
the 3-2 team, is going to beat this 5-0 team.
Right.
And I'm with them. Because I'm looking at rosters. I'm looking at individual
right
position players that if they handle up and do business, as if same with Texas and Vanderbilt. Texas on paper was much better than Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a very good team. Texas played that game close, but they also gave them many – they beat themselves almost.
Right.
Right? And I think if Huntsville doesn't beat themselves in this game, I think that they beat Nederland and they're supposed to.
Right.
So I'm going with Nederland.
Let me ask you this.
Score.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Let me go back and look at what kind of scores that we're putting up. Okay, so Huntsville on a regular.
Huntsville's averaging.
They're averaging 45 points a game probably.
I'd say 35.
35, 49, 48, 42, 21, or 21, yeah. 33, 49, 24.
I'd say 35 points a game.
35 points a game, yeah. Nederland, on the other hand, where are they at? Let me scroll in here.
37-14-7-63. That was Splendor. 41, 45, 43, 24. So about the same, 35
about the same,
points.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to say.
Here's the deal. This is where you go back and you look. They allowed 21. They allowed 35. They allowed 28, 17, 12, 24, 13, and 0. Mm. Okay. To Huntsville's, they have allowed 35, 24, 28, 7, 21, 18, 0, 24. So really about the same. They're pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say that this game here will be, I'm going to say it's going to be 45 to 21.
45-21 Huntsville.
Yep.
I'm a Hornet fan. And have been for some time. They're kind of spotty. They kind of run a wave, right? They'll have one down year and then boom, they shoot right back up for another three. Then they'll have one down year and then back up. I'm going to go Huntsville in this game. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I think it's going to be a 27-21 football game. Huntsville.
Okay.
And that's just kind of where I'm at. And it's really it's a hard game to pick. It's hard to pick the winner, right? Because they are. You look at those numbers; they're so even.
Yeah.
Across the board, they're so even, but yet.
Yeah.
And then it's a road game on top of that for Huntsville. You know, they lucked out, had P&G at home. They the game, you know, that they did lose to Lake Creek was on the road in district one, you know, one of them. And obviously they lose to P&G at home. So I don't know. It's a tough pick, tough score. Right.
So let me ask you this. Last year, obviously Huntsville made it. Deep in the playoffs, they got by Richmond Randall. Richmond Randall is 8-0, number 5 in the state right now.
Yep.
you know what Huntsville is.
Yeah.
What, 5-3?
Yeah.
Right? So they're 5-3. If they matched up today with Richmond Randall, 5 in the state, 8-0, off the top of your head, who would you take that game? Now, Richmond Randall got beat last year, and it went down to the wire. Now, I'm going to read off their 8-0s that Richmond Randall did real quick.
All right.
All right. Yep. Richmond Foster, they won 35-14. Alif Elsick, 61-14. Yep. Fort Bend Travis, 62-7. Fort Bend Marshall, 45-7. Iowa Colony, 30-10. Texas City, 45-13. Baytown Lee, 69-7. Rosenberg Terry, 58-0.
Only game that you read off that was even was the Fort Bend Marshall.
That's right.
That's
other
the
than
game.
That, there ain't yeah. no. And you're just like, oh, I'm taking the 8-0. I'm like,
yeah.
You go look at the gauntlet that Huntsville's been through.
Yeah, and they've so been saying, through a gauntlet.
And that's why we talk about building your schedule to prevail late in the year.
Right.
If they can get in. Now, it's going to be a really unfortunate that they didn't handle up on business against Lake Creek.
Right.
They got to beat Nederland to get in.
They lose to Nederland this week.
Yep.
They're going to go back and look at that Lake Creek game.
That's going to be the number one that they're going to be going.
And I'm going to tell you this. I feel bad for Lake Creek next year.
Yeah. That's if Huntsville don't graduate off. I think they lose quite a bit.
Yeah, but they have
back. They're building a program.
Tayshaun Brown. Yeah.
They'll have some back.
They have a program.
Yeah,
it's, they have it's a program. Built.
And so. The number 9, the quarterback I was seeing that comes in, he's like a sophomore.
Right.
So, yeah, they're back in so, quarterback situation.
It'll be kind of like
good.
That Westwood deal with that quarterback they got this year.
Exactly.
Like, he was – and we said it when we played him. I said, man, I had that
he
freshman.
He got a brother that's coming up?
In 8th grade,
Westwood?
Yeah, that's like better – rumor is better
there
than he
go.
Is. So,
yeah.
But that whole deal
– So, and, depending on what they do with that coach at Westwood, it's a good situation for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. So, those boys, their dad's the basketball coach. There
the,
in Westwood.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
And this 8th grader you're talking about.
Is the head basketball there. So he, you know, the next offer comes out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somewhere like, say DeSoto called and said, hey, you got the head basketball job. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen, right? But
definitely you get that job if it were to ever come open that you got to go in and convince that guy to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, look, we're going to give
man,
you a
little
bump.
You're killing it at basketball, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, why don't you slide on over here and do no teaching and just
we're just
do this
all you gotta
deal.
Do,
yeah.
All you got to do is coach basketball.
Yeah, go down to the junior high and help them out.
Under work, so. But no, it's going to be interesting. Looking forward to week 10 of high school football. One more week of the regular season after this week. So then we're down to it, but there's just so much that's up in the air, you know, coming into this week of week 10 of Texas high school football.
Yep.
I liked it better whenever they started with week 0, you know,
I did too.
And they changed all of that. So,
yeah.
Really looking forward to it. Probably not going to have a midweek show this week. Last week was kind of a one-off spinoff with the whole Westwood deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Trent and I did a really good job covering that old deal and scenarios and kind of our opinion on that. And, you know, it was neat to really follow that on the media aspect of it to learn the UIL, you know, and kind of how they handled that. And I thought the questioning was really good from the chair and such of the UIL. I didn't have any clue how that went down. I never in my mind would have dreamed that they would have had that on YouTube Live.
Yeah. What got me as we watched some of the ones before that waiting on that to come on, and it, you know, of course, it was most of it's like recruitment stuff, you know, where somebody lives in some district and they're going over and they didn't get cleared and all that. But what got me is a couple of the kids like left mid-season.
Right.
Like they'll play the first 3 games at this school and then just move over here. And I'm like, man, that's, I could have told you, but you want to get away with that.
That was like a no-brainer.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, a couple of those were like that. And I think one of them they granted. I think there was 3. One of them they ended up granting. The other 2 they denied.
Right.
But, yeah, it was interesting. And I knew that the UIL was going to put those kids first. That's their number one deal is they're going to put those kids first. And they on that ruling, that's what they did.
Right. So, I was glad that it went that way.
Absolutely.
Now, what the hard part for me is now you got all these schools, like, the way they ruled not to affect the kids. Kids didn't have anything to do with it. But yet, then you got that Alto scenario, right, where they missed 2 years of making the playoffs.
And the kids had nothing to do with how many kids they turned in.
It all had to do with administration.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's almost if you could hit them with a financial, the school district with a financial burden.
Right.
Versus penalizing.
But I don't think they're probably wanting to, they wouldn't want to mess with the education side of it.
True. I mean, after the ruling this last week, it's like really hard. I think that it's something that they're really going
to. I wonder if they gave those kids an opportunity to leave.
I'm sure they did.
Like, yes, y'all are not, but you guys that are here now, y'all have an opportunity to get a clear waiver to do this.
You got X amount of days.
Yeah.
In the next 10 days, you have to move out.
You can move to the neighboring. Yeah.
Yeah. You can move to the neighboring now if you're moving.
Right.
So
I could have seen that.
Anyway. Well, man, that's going to be a wrap this week. Good show. I appreciate you coming in. And hey, Trent wasn't there. I hope him and Alex get to feeling better.
Yep.
As, you know, they're struggling. Trent says he's got it really bad going on right now. And Alex said he ain't got no voice. He said, I guess Trent gave me whatever he had. So it doesn't sound. But texting Alex and talking to him and Trent texting me, they got something too totally different. So we'll see how it goes. But that's going to be a wrap for us here on the 590 Sports Show. We will be at home this week, Cold Spring and Hardin game in the Pick'ems. So looking forward to that ball game and, you know, a lot of good Halloween this week. So y'all be sure to be safe if you're out and about on October 31st. Yep. Kids going to be out trick-or-treating, people going to JV games, junior high games and such. So be careful when you're out and about on the roads and look out for the kids trick-or-treating and stuff. But for Toby Tolis, I'm Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We will see you
at the game.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.